Okay, good morning. It's a nice, wonderful, sunny day, and everybody come in from the beach, and let's just sit back and have a nice, warm day here. While you're coming in, I just got to get you read it. Fun, huh? Just for fun, I tell you, y'all are missing it on the 9:15 class. I mean, we're just having so much fun. Let's see. And there's a good one here. If you're married, act as though you're not married. And I mean, it's just really good stuff. And I used to think Romans 5 was the most difficult chapter in the Bible, but I think 1 Corinthians 7 is going to give it a run for its money. Just read 1 Corinthians 7, and without doing a lot of in-depth work, just read it. And so it says, when you marry, your time is shortened. It says, when you marry, you shall have trouble in this life if you marry. And I mean, this is right out of the Bible. It's good stuff. And
you're not talking about me, are you?
No, talk about the Word of God here. And it's just really, really good, really good stuff. And let's see. Oh yeah, but I say this. But this I say, there, brethren. The time has been shortened, if you marry, so that from now on, those who have wives should act as though they have none. Now, what am I supposed to do with that? It's the Bible. It's the Word of God. I'm reading it, the whole verse, gee. And I had Brian with having daughters. If any man thinks that he is acting unbecomingly toward his virgin daughter, if she should be full age, and it must be so, let him do what he wishes. He does not sin, let her marry. But he who stands firm in his heart, being under no constraint, but has authority over her own, over his own will, and has decided that in his heart to keep her a virgin daughter, he will do well. What am I supposed to do with all this?
Passover.
Yeah, boy, I'd love to pass over chapter 7. My goodness. So those are the fun things you're missing on Sunday morning. And we've already studied how the woman's body belongs to the man's body belongs to the woman. We've studied that. And just a lot of really good good stuff here. Good sound principles, how to crash a marriage. Okay, let's begin with a word of prayer and a wonderful morning of worship. This kind of weather just makes you kind of want to stay inside and study the Bible and worship with one another. Let's pray. We love your word, Father. It's a guide into our life, a light into the path. Reveals you to us, your Son, your Spirit, your plan, your love, your mercy, your righteousness. Father, we are so thankful for this assembly. We come together and study your word together, like-minded on its authority, like-minded on its inerrancy. Father, we pray that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to you, glorifying to your Son. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Now, in getting ready for Daniel chapter 10, which is the invisible warfare, let's stand and sing, Brian.
Thank you.
Okay. Couple of announcements. Now, next Sunday is the first Sunday of the month, so it'll be Communion Sunday. Also next Sunday, John Hintz will be here to teach. We'll enjoy his fellowship. He has some good studies for us. And so please be in prayer as he and Judy travel. They've decided to make a little trip out of it, are going to drive. And so please be in prayer for them as they drive in. Now, on some important things, Thomas had surgery last Thursday on his right knee, and the surgery went very well. There were complications, not really related to that particular surgery, but in the hospital. But they got home last night, and he was very tired. And the doctor told him it would be good 6-7 months for a good complete graft to take effect. So he's looking at the early part of next summer for that knee, and probably May for the left knee, which he had a couple months ago. So please be in prayer for Thomas. Be in prayer for Rick and Terry. It's just a battle for everyone. Yes. No. No. Crutches, move. And more and more, he will move more and more. And he's in pain. And every 4 hours, they have to wake him up, give him some medicine, put ice on his leg, and just do various things like that for a while. But good. When will that be? Okay. Well, let's just be in prayer for Thomas. He's just gone through so much. And he's not a complainer. I mean, I'd have been complaining every morning, every noon, every night, and but he's very. Yes. Yep. Need to be in prayer for the entire family, and just thank God for all that he's brought Thomas through to this point. So that's been very, very effective and very good. And we also want to give a praise of thanks for Romeo. Had your second stent put in? Now, were they able to do it through here? Or?
As a matter of fact, he stayed in pain.
Okay.
The first one was done on your right. The second one was done on the same.
Good. And you're doing okay now?
Yeah.
Good. Very good. Well, we'll be in prayer. Everything stays and continues to get stronger, Romeo. Very thankful for what's happened with you. And let's see, you had a prayer request. And what is the, how long does that take to wing its way out?
2 or 3 months.
6 weeks. Wow. Okay, we'll be in prayer. All right, any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of? Yes. I'm afraid those days are kind of come here when we want to overturn our Constitution. I'm just thankful it's lasted as long as it has. And it's really interesting. We'll continue to be in prayer. Good. Any other prayer requests or information we have to get out? Okay. Yes. I'm being in prayer for Judith's son-in-law. He, as you know, he had one kidney taken out, and they found some spots on the other one. So now they've got to go in and find out if that's cancerous or what it is. So please be in prayer, and he's very concerned about it, as we all would be. But so please be in prayer for Dennis. And any other prayer requests? Okay, according to our Constitution, I'd like to make an announcement. Next Sunday, I know it's Communion Sunday. I know it's John Hintz's Sunday here. But after class, we got to take just a few minutes for a quick vote on whether or not it's okay with you. We trade in our current car for another car, and the reason being is that Jerry Collins said that there was just his company's having a really big sale push for the end of the year. Brian has some good hints, and so we can get this done, taken care of, trade in our car and get another one, and we'll vote yes or no, and Jim Passmore will have a budget sheet, and we can look at that and have an idea. The good advantage is that the mortgage has been paid off on the pastor's home, so we only have to have a certain small amount for that, and we can take the rest of more of that, put on the car, so that it should not make any difference in our monthly outgo if we do that. But we'll get into that next Sunday, and just be thinking about it. Discussion, of course, but man, just yes or no. And we don't want, I feel strongly both ways, or something like that. Let's just make it very simple next Sunday. Let's see. Now, and then the following Wednesday, not this Wednesday. I always get people confused. Not this Wednesday, but next Wednesday we will not have class. John and I and our wives will be going to the pre-trib conference held here in Dallas. So we'll be doing that. Yes? Yeah, and it's now eating. It's just this and this and this and this. Eating a lot. Brian does a lot of the work on it, and I'm not going to get a fancy car. Somehow or another, and I have my suspicions, but the little red light on the back is cracked. Well, they wouldn't inspect it, give a new inspection until that's fixed, and because it has that L on it. $250 for just a little red piece of glass, because it has an L on it, and so I'm not getting any more L's, and but we need to do that if we're going to sell it or trade it in, and also to get the sticker, so that'll be legal, and I am legal, right? Yeah, all right, and so okay. Yeah, any other comments, questions, or anything about next couple of days, weeks? All right. The Word of God declares, whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth the gracious giver. The gracious giver is defined as one who has personally believed in Jesus Christ as Savior, by faith alone, grace alone, faith in Jesus Christ. But, giving requires the filling of the Holy Spirit. Be led of the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit in regard to this very important facet of worship. With these things in mind, let us prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Heavenly Father, we do not consider the offertory an intrusion on our life, a burden on our finances. We consider it a privilege to have part of the spreading of the gospel, spreading of the teaching of the Word of God. And therefore, Father, we pray that you receive the offerings that we're about to give, that you will continue to use them to bring honor and glory to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords, even Jesus Christ our Savior. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Yes, you can do that. Okay, we announced last week, and Tyson isn't here, but Julie is. We need a lot of work. Is that correct? And about how much did y'all calculate? $1,195, about $1,500.
Yep, okay. There.
Yeah. Do you know about how many hits we get a month?
Well, we haven't been any lower than 12,000.
Okay.
And then we don't know who they are.
Yeah. Okay. So, but we need, it's been a long time since we've updated, so we're going to take a special offering for the upgrading here, and then we'll see how much more we need to take out of general fund for what we don't get here. So let's take up a special offering now just for the upgrading of our sound system. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the outreach you give this church, our young people, two different homes in this church, missionary outreach, our assembly right here, where we fellowship with one another. And then, Heavenly Father, you've given us the wonderful opportunity of spreading the word through the internet. We have no idea what you're doing with that, and it's not for us to know. We don't need to know. We pray that you will continue to use it. But in Satan's world, things cost. And so, Father, we pray now that you'll receive the offerings, special offering that we're about to give for our outreach on the internet, to upgrade this to the standard that would be befitting to the conveying of your word. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for his sake and glory. Amen.
Just give me a song, and to lay on my heart a song that week before last, my nephew was stillborn. This week I find out that Dennis has some spots on his kidney. I don't know what the scenario. They can't give him another. They can't take his kidney, and they can't give him chemo. And I looked, and I look at my granddaughters, and they just had this precious, he just had this precious little grandson. He had two girls, and he got his boy, and I mean, he just absolutely adores it. So I've just been praying that God, that maybe this is nothing, maybe it's just a spot, maybe it's, you know, I know God's in control, I know that his will be done, but We are heavy laden, and we are sad, and I don't know what people do without the Lord and where they can go. Because I literally wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning, I just pray, I just ask God to give my daughter strength, my granddaughters, and just knowing that God is faithful and he will not give us more than what we can handle. So anyway, this is a song that God gave me.
Precious Lord, take my hand.
take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. When my way grows drear, precious Lord, linger near. When my life is almost gone, my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. When the darkness appears,
Thank you, Judith and Wes. Okay, does everyone have the handout for this morning? It has a color picture on the front, kind of unusual, but the Invisible Warfare. Anybody not have the Invisible Warfare? James got carried away and decided he wanted to do one in color. So, there we go. Okay, Daniel chapter 10. Let's begin with the word of prayer. And before we actually get into this, got one other thing I want to do here. So let's begin with the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it is so vital that we understand you have a plan. You have a plan for the universe. You have a plan for history. You have a plan for each and every one of us individually. But Heavenly Father, we also understand there are forces invisible to us seeking to counter your plan. We pray your Spirit will open our eyes to things that you would have us to grasp in the invisible warfare. To this end, Father, we do pray in Christ's name. Amen. Now, chapter 9 of Daniel, as you recall, considered one of the most important chapters in Daniel because of Daniel's 70th week. And verses 25 through 27, 24 through 27 are crucial in understanding. So at the very back of your handout this morning, the very back on page 26 and 27, what I have done, what James and I have done, is given you a translation. Now what you might want to do, I've done it, go into your text when you get home and just with a nice fine point pen, put in the things that you may need to be aware of in the correct translation and understanding. So what I've done here, given you a translation, the bold print is the Bible, the light print are points of interest that you might want to be aware of if you read Daniel's 70th week. A lot of people have confusion in reading this passage. So I just decided, with some of the questions, I might as well just give you this so that you have it down where you can understand it. Daniel chapter 9, 24. The bold print is out of the New American Standard, 1995. 70 weeks, now that's 490 years, have been decreed by God for your people, Jews, this isn't for the church, and your holy city, Jerusalem. And then I've added, to accomplish six things. Finish the transgression, rebellion against God, which they have been doing almost from the foundation. Two, make an end to sin. Stop missing the mark of God's perfect righteousness by works of the law. Three, and those are just very quick little ideas of what those phrases mean. To get a full grasp, we spend time on it. Three, to make atonement. To make atonement. That is, to make reconciliation for iniquity. Four, to bring in everlasting righteousness. The end of the 490 years when the Messiah comes. Five, seal up the vision and prophecy. Actually, it should be prophet. When the Messiah comes, there'll be no need of a prophet. And six, to anoint the most holy, not place, that's Jesus Christ. Now, verse 25. Any questions on 24? So we have 490 years has been promised to Israel. Why is the tribulation 7 years? Okay, coming up. Verse 25. So you are to know and discern. You got to know it and discern that from the issuing of a decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. And we studied four different dates that that could possibly be. And 444 B.C. is the date that deals with both the building of the city and the temple. So 444 B.C. is when the final 490 years starts the clock. God started the clock, April the 1st, 444 B.C. Until Messiah the Prince, Jesus Christ, there will be 7 weeks. That's 49 years. That 49 years, which is part of the 490, it's the first 49 years, that will be to complete the city and the temple. Then from that point, there'll be 62 weeks, 434 years, which when you add the 69, the 49, with the 434, you got 483 years. Does that make sense? Okay. It will be built again with plaza and moat. Now, the plaza and moat deal with defenses. Even in times of distress, world opposition headed by Satan to the rebuilding of Jerusalem, going on this very day. 26. Then, after the 62 weeks, 434 years, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, will be cut off, crucified, and have nothing. And this means none of the unconditional covenants to Israel will be fulfilled. They will not have the land. They will not have the kingdom with him as king and the rule. So he'll be cut off with nothing. And the people of the prince to come. Okay? The prince to come is, the people of the prince is the Roman Empire, the Western world, Europe. So, and the people of the prince who is to come, Romans, will destroy the city, Jerusalem, and the sanctuary. That will be accomplished in 70 A.D. And its end will come with a flood. This is the millennial invasion. Even to the end, there will be war. Desolations are determined throughout the church age. We have wars and rumors of wars. There's more wars. I read in the military school, there are 350-something wars going on somewhere around the world. And so just always be wars throughout the church age. Then finally, 27. And he, that is the prince to come. You take the personal pronoun to the first antecedent. That's the prince to come. That's the dictator of the revived Roman Empire, or sometimes known as the Antichrist. And he, the prince to come, dictator of the revived Roman Empire, or the Antichrist, will make a firm covenant. Doesn't say anything about the rapture. This is not about the church. You and I know the rapture will occur before this treaty is made. But he's not dealing with the rapture to Daniel. Daniel in the Old Testament knows nothing about the church age. So there'll be a firm covenant. So right after the rapture, there'll be a firm covenant. Now what does that tell us? Is there any prophecy that must be fulfilled for these things to happen? No. Are there conditions of history that must be in place? Absolutely. For there to be a covenant, there must be a nation. The nation has been formed. For there to be the coming prince, he must have already been born. Those are not part of prophecy. Those lay the groundwork for the fulfillment of the prophecy of Daniel's 70th week. So we have the nation. And that's primarily, in my opinion, what the Holocaust was about. Jews did not think of themselves as Jews. They thought of themselves as Germans. They thought of themselves as Polish. And so they were not about ready to want a nation. But after the Holocaust, they were ready to have a nation. They were ready to realize we're not just Germans, we're Jews. We're not Polish, we're Jews. So they started forming the nation. 1948, May, they formed the nation. So this is not part of prophecy, but it sets up the condition for prophecy. Whenever we get close to the setting up of this covenant between the Western world and Israel, the Antichrist, the dictator of the revived Roman Empire, will have been born. I don't know how old he'll be. I don't know if he'll be 25 or 45. But whatever age he's be, he will have already been born. Everything will be in place. The rapture will occur, and then the treaty will be made. There will be so much confusion that Israel will, a lot of Israel, we'll see that in a moment, will want some kind of protection. Because it's going to be totally an unstable period of history. Okay, verse 27. And he, the prince who is to come, dictator of the revived Roman Empire, called the Antichrist, will make a firm covenant for the protection of Israel with the many. Now with the many, Jews who desire the covenant help with the Gentiles. It's very interesting. This week, a new party formed new head, and he is against Israel. He's a Jew. It's a Jewish organization, but he does not want Israel to be so independent. He wants to get along with the Palestinians, trade with the Palestinians, give them land, and it's amazing. All Israel is not Israel. And so the many here refers to many Jews, but who will want this covenant. Okay, will make a firm covenant for protection, with the many, Jews who desire the covenant help from the Gentiles, for 1 week, 7 years. But in the middle of the week, 3.5 years, he, prince who is to come, will put a stop. See, the prepositions here are important. You got to know who's being talked about. Like at the beginning of verse 27, he, the prince to come, got to go back to the nearest antecedent. Then we have it, but in the middle of the 7 weeks, he, personal preposition, prince who is to come, will put a stop to sacrifice and grain offerings. That means in the first 3.5 years of the tribulation, if not sooner, but at least by then, they will have started their sacrifice and grain offerings. If you know anything about what's going on over there, they now are making the tinsels that will slaughter the cow, the sheep, and all. They're especially making them just as they did 2,000 years ago. And all these things are being put into place. Priests are learning how to sacrifice animals. And these things are going on right now in Israel. Okay. We'll put a stop to sacrifice and grain offering. That is in the temple. So there will be a temple built. We know that from Revelation. It will be destroyed in the tribulation, but it'll be built. And on the wing, that's the pinnacle of the temple, of abominations, statue of himself to be worshipped, will come one who makes desolate, even until a complete destruction, second advent and battle of Armageddon. One that is decreed by God, is poured out on the one who makes desolate. That is the Antichrist. Introduction to the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. So, what I'd like you to do, if you're interested enough, I think you are the reason you're born through James and I through Daniel. But go over those verses in your Bible, and if you need to make a little note, put down the note. If any part still doesn't make sense to you, please don't let me get by thinking that we've made it clear. Give me a call, email me, do something. Let me know something's not quite clear. But that's the point of these last two pages. Okay, let's go to the front now. Get to work on today's lesson. Any questions over the corrected translation? Okay. All right, the invisible warfare. Ephesians 6:12. For our struggle is not against our husbands and wives, our children and our parents. Our struggle is against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. As we move into Daniel chapter 10, we will learn and have learned more about the conflict between God and Satan and between the angels. One of the primary things we learn about Satan is that he is constantly working to counter the plan of God. Now, we've already began our study, so James just put it in so that we wouldn't have to open a Bible and just read through where we are. Daniel 10:1. In the third year of Cyrus, the king of Persia. Now, people throughout your life, I know I have, you read, you're okay, historical information. But I hope you're beginning to appreciate the vital information that's conveyed in that. The book of Ezra is about the third year of the Cyrus, king of Persia. You got just so much is given in these time markers. God deals in time markers. Hours, days, weeks, years, months. As in the 70th week of Daniel. Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, who was named Belshazzar. That's his Babylonian name. He still hasn't changed it back to his Hebrew name. If you pick your battles. Who was named Belshazzar, and the message was true and one of great conflict. But he understood the message and had an understanding of the vision. In those days, now, you got to follow this passage, because here he says, I understood the vision, understood the message. And then look at verse 2. I had been mourning for 3 entire weeks. You understand? Now you're in mourning. I did not eat any tasty food, nor did meat or wine enter my mouth, nor did I use any ointment at all until the entire 3 weeks were completed. Now, what it means, it doesn't mean he didn't eat. He had water, had simple food, but none of the king's food. And we know from chapter 1 where he did not eat it, that he did eat good food. He did drink good wine. But during this 3 weeks, he stopped. On the 24th day, it takes time to have good food. And you want to enjoy it. His heart's heavy. I don't know about you, if you're really heavy, you don't feel like sitting down to a really nice, big, juicy T-bone steak or something. Just give me something. And I've got other things on my mind right now. Well, that was what he was going through. Verse 4. On the 24th day of the first month, while I was by the bank of the great river, that is the Tigris, so the 21 days is over, I lifted my eyes and looked. And behold, there was a certain man dressed in linen, whose waist was girded with a belt of pure gold of upaz. Now, this is Jesus Christ. We studied this last week. His body was also like beryl. His face and his appearance of lightning. His eyes were like flaming torches. His arms and feet like the gleam of polished bronze. And the sound of his words were like the sound of a turmoil. That's tumultuous. That means a thousand voices speaking at once. Remember, John in Revelation said the voice was like rushing water, pounding against the rocks. He was on an island. Okay, verse 7. Now, I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, while the men who were with me, so he's left the 21 days and gone back to his own business, and these people are with him, did not see the vision. Nevertheless, a great dread fell on them, and they ran away to hide themselves. Remember the people that were with Paul on the road to Damascus. Paul was blind. They didn't see anything. They didn't know what they were seeing. They were struck to the ground. Only Paul saw the Lord. So this happens through the history of the Bible. Verse 8. So I was left alone and saw this great vision. Yet no strength was left in me, for my natural color turned to deathly pallor. In other words, he was pale. In verse 7, great dread fell on their face. In verse 8, his face became pale. I retained no strength. But I heard the sound of his words. And as soon as I heard the sound of his words, I fell into a deep sleep. Now, I know how he fell, but I don't think y'all fall asleep because of my words the way he did. This was by the Lord. You're just tired. All right? And as soon as I heard the sound of his words, I fell into a deep sleep on my face with my face to the ground. Now, verses 10 through 6. I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, there was a certain man. Well, this is what we just read about that. Now, verses 5 through 6, the incarnate Christ came to Daniel in a theophany. Last week we studied theophanies. What is the face of glory with the face of glory? Now, I've given you sort of a flow here. Verse 7, there was dread on those with Daniel, and they fled. Verse 8, the face of Daniel was pale. He was alone. And I've added a little footnote, introduction to the spiritual warfare. A husband may experience a spiritual warfare, not the wife. A wife may experience invisible warfare, not the husband. You've got to be in tune with what's going on. You've got to be in the power of the Holy Spirit. You've got to be aware of the battle. That's what you've got to be aware of. So Daniel is alone. And so often, to when you fully grasp the spiritual warfare, you'll find yourself alone. In verse 7, Daniel heard his words, which sounded like roaring. Now, verse 10 and following, Daniel is now comforted. Verse 10, then, behold, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. Now remember, he's down on the face, on the ground, in a sound asleep. See that word, touch me, in verse 10? The Hebrew, this is where the goal of the original language is beautiful. The Hebrew gives the idea of hitting, not just touching. This is hitting. Wake him up. You parents can understand that. If your children don't want to wake up, you go in, ha! And you hit them. Or pour water on them and run. But anyway, he gives the idea of hitting. Daniel was face down on the ground in a deep sleep, so the angel comes along and really hits him to wake him up. Doesn't hurt him, but hits him. This is not the pre-incarnate Christ. This is the angel sent by God. Maybe Gabriel, we're not told. Telling him what Jesus Christ said that sounded like a multitude of people speaking. In verse 10, he began the preparation of Daniel for learning new prophecy. He woke him up. People, you got to be awake. When you study the Word of God, you got to be awake. Your mind alert. You got to be alert. Now he continues with preparation for learning. And now that he has his attention, now that the angel has his attention, he begins with encouragement. He said to me, Daniel, doesn't call him Belshazzar. Calls him Daniel. Remind him of his relationship with the Lord. Man of high esteem, understand the words that I am about to tell you, and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling. Now look what we have in verse 11. He said to me, Daniel, man highly esteemed, or greatly beloved. What a wonderful thing to be said of anyone. Born a sinner, saved by grace. And people, this is not the incarnate Christ speaking. He has already vanished. This is a high-ranking angel, probably Gabriel. He touched Daniel, hit him, to give him the strength so he could get up. Then, he says to Daniel, man, highly esteemed. The Hebrew word, I know you're not interested, but just to let you feel a little closer to the text, it's Hamad. It refers to one highly esteemed, highly desired, greatly beloved. It's something that you desire, something that you love. This is highly desirable. This is highly loved. That's what the word means. O Daniel, man of high esteem. Now, question. Is this unique to Daniel? No. Every one of you sitting here who have believed in Jesus Christ, every one of you, from McKenzie to James Webb, actually Jim Langston, can experience this. You can experience this. You can be highly esteemed by God. John 4:20-24. Look at it. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. He's talking to the woman at the well. Christ is talking to the woman at the well. You people say, this is the woman talking to the Lord, you people say, in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But an hour is coming, and now is with my presence, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For such people, the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. For such a people God desires. Now let me tell you something. Think about it. Nearly all his life, Daniel has worshipped this way. There was no Jerusalem. It had been destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. There was no temple. It had been destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. He wasn't even in the land. He was in the foreign land of Babylon. He had to worship God in spirit and in truth. And while so many deserted him, so many Jews deserted the Lord during this time, Daniel and his three friends continued to worship in spirit and in truth, and was therefore greatly loved by God. So you also can be highly loved by God. You don't have to do great things. You don't have to be written about, talked about. In your own simple little life, live your life worshiping God in spirit and in truth, growing in the knowledge of Christ. So, which of course means that if you're going to do this, you have to know how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. A lot of people talk about the Holy Spirit, but how? It's like talking about salvation, but how? Do you invite him into your heart? Do you have to be good? Can you lose it? Or is it just by simple faith in Christ? So if you're going to be highly esteemed by God, you got to know how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Most important doctrine for a believer, how to be filled with the Spirit. So, by faith alone, in the Holy Spirit alone, he will guide you to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ and love as he loved. What exactly was it that God greatly loved about Daniel? Daniel's positive volition for him. Under Calvinism, God determines who will love him, who will seek him, who will love his word, love his son. But under God's grace plan, that is up to each one of you as to just how much you will love the Lord and seek him in his word. I've just given you a human example. Whom do you highly esteem in your life? Whom do you treasure in your life? Those who treasure you. A child who's treasured by his parents, her parents, and knows it, loves them. But they know if they're not. A husband, a wife, treasured by their spouse, they know it. And if you're treasured, truly loved, and you know it, you respond to that. You respond when someone loves you. That is the place God desires in our souls and in our lives. When we are highly esteemed by God, when we greatly love him, when he becomes our joy, when we care for him and seek to please him, two words we studied this morning in 1 Corinthians 7. Got to care for the Lord and please Him. Both take time. To care for the Lord and to please the Lord, you got to know Him. And then it says a husband is to care for his wife and please her. A wife is to care for her husband and please. But to do those things, you got to know them. You got to know what pleases them. This all takes time. It takes time to be highly esteemed by the Lord. If you have, just to make a point, you have 10 years and you're single, you've got all this time to care for the Lord and please Him. But if you're married, just for fun, cut it in half, because now you've got to spend time caring for your spouse and pleasing them. So this is what we have going on. You've got to be able to calculate your time, redeem the time, use your time effectively. This is what's so important. Parents need to teach their children this so emphatically. One more vital point. While it is true we have no sin mentioned of this Daniel, but his sinlessness, and I don't mean he was sinless, but his apparent sinlessness as far as major sins, is not why he's highly esteemed by God. Don't get that idea. Oh, Daniel, we don't have any big sins. No immorality. Well, wait a minute. What about King David? Of whom is recorded some of the most serious sins and transgressions against God, murder and adulterer. Yet God said of him, Acts 13:22, after he had removed him, he raised up David to be their king, removed Saul, and raised up David to be their king, concerning whom he also testified. He, the Lord, testified and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart, who will do my will. People, it's not a matter of sinlessness. It's not a matter of being perfect. It's a matter of the momentum of your life. You're committed to Him. I care for Him. I want to please Him. Yes, I'll fail. And we fail as husbands, we fail as wives, we fail as parents. But the momentum is to care for and to please. Two very important Greek words, which was another study. But I just want you to see Daniel, highly esteemed by God. David, a man after God's own heart. Two entirely different men. And the interesting thing is, we have a lot about both of their full lives. Both of their lives. Two entirely different men, highly esteemed by God. All right. Now, 1 Samuel 16:7. It is difficult for people to grasp how such a statement by God of this David, murderer, adulterer, could be so important to God. Why is that? Well, here's your hint. 1 Samuel 16:7. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For God sees not as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Looks at the inside, where we can't see. Verse 7, for God sees not as a man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Many a people have married the wrong person because they were concerned with the outward appearance. A few have been intelligent and wise enough to look at the heart. So, here we have two different men, both highly esteemed by God. And why? Because their hearts were totally committed to God. And I mean totally. I love Hebrews 11. I'll tell you why. If the average Christian were to read, oh yeah, but look at all the sins he did. Look at, not one sin mentioned. Solomon is in it. I mean, not Solomon, but Samson's in it. Oh, Samson is horrible. He's in the greatest trophy chapter of the Bible. Solomon isn't. Got to look at the heart. What's going on in the soul? Okay. So we have two different men because their hearts were committed to the Lord. Did they sin? Absolutely. But their heart was committed to the Lord. Now, back to Daniel 10:11. Old Daniel, man of high esteem by God, understand the words that I am about to tell you. What is the angel telling Daniel? All right. First, the command means to discern, to understand. The great issue here is to understand not experience. Daniel has had all experience he can handle. He's had enough experience. He doesn't need experience. He doesn't need emotionalism. He needs understanding. That's what he needs. It's not a matter of emotional experiences. It's a matter of understanding. Now, give you a little richness of the Hebrew. It is in the Hebrew, the Hiphil, H-I-P-H-I-L, which guides us in what he is saying. The Hiphil is causative. He is be caused to understand and to discern. The Hebrew word means to observe, to pay attention. Are you listening to me? How many parents have had to say that? Are you listening to me? Oh, yeah. What? That's always it. Are you listening to me? What? But that's what he's saying. Concentrate. Pay attention. That's what he's saying here. Observe. So the process is, with the Hiphil, be caused by the Holy Spirit, by paying attention to the Holy Spirit, he will give you discernment, he will give you understanding, not your IQ, not your own intelligence. It's got to be supernatural, people. It's got to be. It is amazing how many people think they can understand and discern the Word of God by their own intellect. And please do not miss, I am about to tell you. All through Scripture is the emphasis that God sends a messenger. In the Old Testament, a priest, a prophet, an angel. Should have put an angel in. New Testament, the pastor teacher. See? Their function? To tell or to teach the Word of God. People, who you listen to in the teaching of the Word of God is so vital. I don't care who you like as an actor or an actress, what you like. It's who do you open up your ears to and listen? Or do you just, oh, whatever. It is so vital whom you listen to. That's the way God set it up. It's the way he set the whole system up. To be greatly beloved by God, find a teacher who studies and teaches the truth, and be caused by the Holy Spirit to listen, to pay attention, to understand and discern the truth. Don't just trust the teacher. Trust the Holy Spirit. Don't make a big deal out of him. Teacher's not that important. It's the message. Is he communicating what is truth? Well, I don't know. Put it on the plate. See as you go through other passages. Do things contradict or do they back it up and support it? But he's got to study the Word of God and teach it. Next, the teaching angel wants Daniel to stand up. Pay attention. You can't do it sitting there sloppy. I will never forget Miss Tuttle. Walked in to Algebra 1. She looked at us. She was mean. She looked mean. She sounded mean. She said there are only two ways to learn algebra. The right way and the Tuttle way. And the Tuttle way begins with both feet flat on the floor in front of you. Well, I mean, we were junior high. We were respectful back in those days. Boy, you immediately adjusted your feet. And that was it. She wanted your attention. And don't even think of asking permission to go to the bathroom. Don't even think of asking permission to be excused. You are not going to get it. You are not going to get it. It was a Tuttle way. And she wanted full concentration. And I did real well through Algebra 1 through 4. Because of Tuttle. Well, that's what he's doing here. Think. Pay attention. Stand up. So verse 11. Stand upright. For I have now been sent to you. So he's under authority. See, I'm under authority. He's under authority. Verse 17 of Daniel 8. Let's take a look. Show you the consistency. Go back to Daniel 8. So he came near to where I was standing. And when he came, I was frightened and fell on my face. But he said to me, Son of man, understand that the vision pertains to the time of the end. Now while he was talking with me, I sank into a deep sleep with my face to the ground. But he touched me, he hit me, and made me stand upright. But you've got to stand correctly to understand. You don't get to just look around. Pay attention. Pay close attention. This is the Word of God. You can't be sleeping, playing with your computer, daydreaming, and concentrating on the Word of God. Daniel's response, I love it, verse 11. And when he spoke this word to me, I stood up. I listened. I did exactly what he said. Now, this is an old man. This is somebody who has some authority of his own right. He stood up. Yes, sir. I'm listening. Am I in trouble? Is that what all this is about? The angel continued speaking. Then he said to me, do not be afraid, Daniel. People in the angelic conflict, you're going to have days when you're afraid. You'll have events when you're in fear. What's going to happen? Why is this happening? Fear is a natural response of the human body, the human soul. It's natural. I think one of the most interesting things about fear is that we can be sitting in the summer in a nice air-conditioned theater, popcorn in one hand, a Coke in another, and be in fear of you know what's going on the screen. We know it's not real. We know there's nothing, there's no monsters in here going to get me. This is all nice. Fear. They're like that. Fear is just so natural of the human body. Okay. Then he said to me, do not be afraid, Daniel. Very personal. For from the first day that you set your heart on understanding this was 21 days ago, and on humbling yourself before your God, your words were heard. And I have come in response to your words. The first thing he has to do is calm Daniel down. Remove the fear so that Daniel can concentrate on the message from God. We should stop for a while here and just study fear not. All through the Bible, fear not. There are a multitude of reasons why believers fear. But this one is a little different than most. Daniel is not fearing judgment. He is not fearing for his life. Daniel has been mourning for 21 days. He has been praying for answers. Then all of a sudden, there appears Jesus Christ himself, appears before him, and he was not able to understand Jesus Christ. It's all just so confusing and bewildering to him. Jesus Christ's voice sounds like 1,000 voices at one time. In other words, he cannot understand what his Savior is saying. He is still trying to grasp what's going on. And now suddenly, we can understand the shepherds. They're just young people out in the darkness, no street lights, just the darkness. And all of a sudden, there are angels all over the sky. They start singing and talking to him. That would put me in fear. But Daniel has a different kind of fear. Didn't understand what all's going on. And now suddenly the top angel appears and starts speaking to him. He is in fear. What's going on? Can you imagine how the shepherds fell when the angels appeared at the birth of Christ? This brings about fear. Whatever your cause of fear, always remember one verse, and I'm sure Daniel has read it because he's read Jeremiah and Isaiah. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Now, Wednesday night, we're studying the crucifixion of Christ. And while he's hanging on the cross, the mockers mock him. And they mock him by saying that what they mock, but they present truth. King of the Jews, he is. But they meant it in mockery. But they also had said something else. He trusts God. You go over to Psalm 22. He trusts God. Now, the word trust I love there. It's not the normal word all through the Bible of trust. The word means to roll over. He just rolled over on God. All that was going on the cross. His death, bearing the judgment of the sins of the world. Whatever you do, I trust you. It's up to you. And people, when you really can say that, you will experience peace as never before. But you got to mean it. I just trust you. Most difficult of circumstances, He's dying on the cross, going to bear the judgment of the sins of the world. And he said, I roll over to you. You are in total charge. I trust you. Now, he knew the Father. He knew he could trust the Father. That's why we want to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, people. The more you know him and the more you know the Father, the more you're able to roll over on him. The more you're able to trust him. And Jesus Christ just rolled over and trusted him. And when you reach that point, as I just said, you will experience an inner peace that will just boggle your mind. It will be beyond your understanding. I should be totally, totally in turmoil. There's such peace right now. Such peace. Okay. Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Verse 12. Do not be afraid, Daniel. For from the first day, that is the first day of the 21 days, that you set your heart on understanding this and on humbling yourself before your God. People, it takes humility to study the Word of God. You can't sit there, well, I know just as much as he does. I'm just as good. I'm this. I got other things. Da, 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 da. You got to humble yourself. See, that's why faith is humility. That's why people don't want to be saved by faith alone. I want to invite Jesus into my heart. I get to do something. I want to be good. I get to do something. Faith demands total humility. I can do nothing but trust you. Nothing but trust you. Humility. So do not be afraid. For from the first day, 21 days ago, that you set your heart on understanding this and humbling yourself before your God, 3 weeks of fasting and mourning, your words were heard by God. Well, it sure doesn't seem like it. I've been praying for 21 days and you didn't do anything. Your words were heard. And I have come in response to your words. God responds to Daniel's prayer. Now, wait a minute. You come now in response to my prayers. Why is it taking 21 days? Ever ask God why it takes him so long to answer your prayer? I prayed it 21 years ago and you still haven't answered. What you doing, God? Why are you taking time? People, it's invisible warfare. We don't know what's going on. God's in charge of time. We're in charge of faith. So, Daniel says something like, why is it taking you 21 days? Last time Gabriel came while I was yet praying. Remember in chapter 9? While he was praying, Gabriel came. Now it's 21 days later. What's going on here, God? This angel now tells Daniel why it's been 21 days. Daniel 10:13 introduces us to one of the most important doctrines in all the Bible. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia was withstanding me for 21 days. Daniel is now about to hear about the spiritual, invisible warfare. A war of beings of such power and magnitude and intelligence that he knows is only supernatural. This was introduced in Daniel 10:1. Look at it. 10:1, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia. Now, what's interesting here, I just threw it in for your information. In all of the Bible, there are 8 names given by God before their births, and Cyrus is one of them. Isaiah 44:28, he's named before he was born. And the book of Ezra teaches of this memorable third year. A message was revealed to Daniel, continuing verse 1 of chapter 10. Who was named Belshazzar, and the message was true and one of great conflict, even great warfare. I didn't emphasize that then. I want to save it for now. Why the answer to Daniel's prayer was delayed 3 weeks? A glimpse behind the invisible curtain of the angelic conflict of the invisible warfare is going to tell us. We now move into an area, I'm sorry, that few Christians know anything about or even care about. few preachers want to preach about it because you've got to do a lot of studying. It's all through the Bible. But you've got to piece this together and put that together. Otherwise, you just emphasize this, you'll miss that and be wrong here. It takes a lot of time. A lot of time. There's a great portion of the Bible that teaches on the invisible warfare, the angelic conflict. And I say the angelic conflict, and that's right, because people, this is between angels. They're battling it out. They're battling it out. Between angels. And this will concern you. So many Christians like to talk about their guardian angel. Well, let me remind you something. You've got an attacking angel too. See? Don't be all that concerned about your guardian angel. You got one slugging on you too. So you got two different battles going on. The book of Daniel is a remarkable book. Not just for Daniel's 70th week, but for the invisible warfare. First, you must understand that God could have ended the entire struggle. Over. But he chose not to do so. If God so decided, there would be no evil in existence. There would be no sin. But God has a plan. A plan that allows his creatures to observe his omnipotence, his omniscience, his love, his grace, his perfect righteousness, his holiness, his very being. All through the Bible, there are times when Satan has been given power. There are times all through the Bible where God gives to man power over Satan, even over his demons. Jesus Christ often affirmed that God given power and authority to Satan. I'll give you some passages. This giving of power and authority over to Satan does not challenge the omnipotence of God, but dramatizes that he has a plan of grace that allows his creation to decide to respond by faith in him or in the one he has sent, Jesus Christ or the Holy Spirit. Daniel 10:13, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia was withstanding me for 21 days, probably Gabriel. Then behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. For I had been left there with the kings of Persia. Look at all the people we have in this one verse. We have the prince of the kingdom of Persia. We have me. We have Michael, one of the chief princes. And then we have kings of Persia. We have four entities here in this one verse. We've got to be able to discern who is what and where do they all fit in. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia was withstanding me for 21 days. Who is the prince of Persia? He is not human. He is not superhuman. He is a fallen angel. This is why we have to study from all the studies from Daniel 2, the times of the Gentiles, the four kingdoms of the statute of Nebuchadnezzar, the four wild beasts, portraying Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome. It will be centuries until Greece is overtakes Persia. So there's going to be a battle in there in those centuries. We're going to have a demon defending Persia. We're going to have an angel from the Lord fighting that demon. So it will be centuries for Greece to overtake Persia under Alexander. And this messenger angel will remain as guardian in Persia over some two centuries. Now, not talking about human beings here. Call Prince of Persia. This angel cannot get past to deliver the message God has sent him to deliver to Daniel. He simply cannot get past him to get down to Daniel. And it will take the Archangel Michael to come and help him, and so he would get through to this Daniel. That's what's been going on for 21 days, hand-to-hand combat principle. From the first day Daniel started praying, God ordered Gabriel to go to him, answer some of the questions Daniel was asking about the prophecies. But Gabriel could not leave the king of Persia unprotected. Gabriel only left when God sent Michael to replace him. Until he had finished the revealing these things to Daniel, God is in control of all things, so why did he allow Gabriel to be delayed for 21 days? It was for Daniel's benefit and for ours to learn some things. Principle. If you pray to completely understand some portion of Scripture, prophecy or otherwise, maybe it's practical, maybe it's 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and the ability to witness to others, and are still having trouble, problems, maybe the problem is not with you, but with Satan trying his best to prevent you from learning, prevent you from seeing and understanding. He has so many ways of doing this. Complicate your life so you don't make it to Bible class. Complicate your priorities. Complicate your life physically. Keep praying and studying. Find others of like mind with which to fellowship. Sometimes, and this really takes more than just the word I'm going to give it, sometimes you might get a call from a friend who is having great inner problems. This may very well be the problem they're having. They're in the middle of the angelic conflict. They're in the middle of invisible warfare they know nothing about. Nothing about. But you do. This is so real. This is so vital. Gabriel arrived. The first part of Daniel 10 covered 21 days. From the 3rd of Tishrah to the 23rd of Tishrah. Gabriel arrived at the end of the 21 days, which was right after the high holy days. End time prophecy. From here on, through chapter 12, the angel will reveal, events ranging from 536 BC to AD 1948, on to the tribulation, through the tribulation, to the second coming of Christ. Unbelievable panorama of history. You can see why Satan doesn't want this out. He can't have this. We are allowed to enter where very few are allowed. Who is the prince of Persia that is talking about here? Who is the king? Who are the kings of Persia? The prince of Persia, supernatural demon, a fallen angel, was withstanding me for 21 days. Now I hope you can see, here are two high-ranking angels engaged in hand-to-hand combat for 21 days. The war rages in this physical world, and the war rages in the invisible realm. I love war movies, but I tell you what, I'm still a kid. I love the movies of gladiators. Just hand-to-hand combat. I think Russell Crowe's movie was great. There's just so many good movies. Just hand-to-hand combat. Well, people, that's what's happening in the invisible realm. In this case, 21 days. Two supernatural beings battling it out. I don't know if you've ever thought about that. Fighting in combat. The Hebrew is much stronger and much more dramatic than the simple saying, was standing, withstanding me. Or as the King James, withstood me. Or as the NIV, resisted me. You get a little better picture of the drama in the margin of the New American Standard, standing opposite. They give you two different words. They give you a verb, and then they give you a participle. The cal participle and the verb mod means to take your stand, to rise up. The preposition tells you how against. We have a combat going on between angels. Took his stand against me. He's on his way to Daniel. And this Persian king stands against him, this fallen angel. Took his stand against me to stop me from coming to you, Daniel. This is the conflict, people. Satan did not want the message of this final vision given to Daniel. Took his stand against me in battle for 21 days. And then behold, this is drama. In the highest realm, behold, something unexpected. Michael, the chief prince, came to help me. Of course, I'd turn around and say, where have you been for 21 days? But there he is in this great battle, and all of a sudden, there is the archangel Michael standing there in the battle. One of the chief princes came to help me, for I had been left there. Can be translated, I was left there alone. I withstood. That's what he said. Okay, we'll close here at the right at the beginning of this great battle, and then we will get into the angelic conflict. I think this is going to be a good place because next week John will be here, so we'll just start the angelic conflict 2 weeks from now, and so we'll have this all worked out at that point. Any questions? Okay, I'm surprised. All right, let's close in a word of prayer. Wow, Father, this is exciting. We know about man fighting man. We know about good wars, bad wars. We know hand-to-hand combat. We know weapon combat. That this is just beyond our understanding here. Frankly, Father, I hope you got a video of this when we get to heaven. Angels engaged in battle. Over man. Over man. Over us. They're so superior. And they're fighting over us. And they're fighting over us learning your word. That tells us how important it is for us to know your word. How much he hates it. How he will do whatever he can to stop us from abiding in your word. Father, I pray you take the things we've seen this morning in Daniel. Let it just settle down in our souls. Let us become more aware of what's going on in our lives, in the world, in our homes. That Heavenly Father, we might be drawn closer to you. Walk by faith, moment by moment with you. Father, we pray these things now in Christ's name. And for his glory, amen.